You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and this is my occasional audio practice diary where I talk about practicing piano and life and whatever else is on my mind. Well, it's Thursday, April 5th, 2018. Hi. I haven't done one of these in a long time, but I had a couple things I wanted to tell you that I thought you might enjoy hearing about. First of all, I just figured out that my little windscreen on my microphone by my face is broken. So if there's lots of weird popping and hissing and things, I'm sorry about that. I'll see if there's anything easy I can do in editing it, but if I'm honest, I have zero editing or technical skills about that. I just kind of cut and paste in my intro and outro. So if this sounds really weird, sorry. Okay, I wanted to tell you about the Copland Violin Sonata that I'm currently working on. This is one of these things where I actually got to play it with my dear friend Michael a couple of times. We played it in kind of a run-out concert, and then we played it at his university and did our usual thing that we do. We've been doing it every year for the last few years, where we practice in the spring semester and then do a couple of really intense long rehearsals, usually during spring break, where we'll drive to each other and have long, long talks about our lives, and then long, long rehearsals, and then more long, long talks about our lives. It's a really nice process. But anyway, that process usually involves a lot of feeling of kind of cramming notes and learning notes at the last minute, and this definitely felt that way. And I have sort of a nice do-over opportunity now, which is that we're having a faculty recital. I mean, many of my recitals are faculty recitals, but we're having a faculty recital where lots of different faculties here at the Sonnemann Conservatory are going to play in a couple of weeks. And so I'm going to play this Copland Sonata again with this wonderful violinist, Ari Isaacman-Beck, who is our sabbatical replacement for this year. So it's really nice to have a chance to kind of play with a new person and a new colleague, and that's fun. Anyway, so I have this experience where I crammed this piece and I performed it and people said they enjoyed it and I felt like I did my best. And I feel like now that I've performed the piece twice, now I'm ready for the first rehearsal, which is a little bit of it's not a wake-up call. It's just a reminder of the reality of being a musician while also being somebody with a full-time job teaching and living in the semester timeline. One of the things that's tricky about this piece is there's lots of rhythmic places that are sort of odd, and I want to show you one place and then tell you about the solution that I found that I'm excited about. Let me find it. Where are you? Okay, so this is in the last movement. Yes, no, where is it? Oh my gosh. Here it is. Okay, so this is going to be difficult, but I'm going to try and do it. I'm going to try and count it out loud as he wrote it. This is mostly in 4-4, but there's one little 3-4 bar shoved in there. So I'm going to try and count out loud, and then you can hear me be frustrated about it. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, now we're in 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, and then it's in 2 and it's a little more normal. It's immediately in 4 after that. Anyway, it's a little more normal after that. So now I'm going to try and do that. I'm going to try and count out loud and sing the violin part. This is not going to go well, but I'm just going to show you. So part of the point of this is that this does not go well. It's confusing. So did you see how it was confusing to see where these fall in the beat? Like the first one is on the downbeat, and the second one is on beat 2, and then you have a 3-beat bar, and then it's on beat 1, and then it's on beat 2, and then it's on beat 4, and then it's all you wait a measure, and then it's on beat 1, and it just feels confusing. So now I'm going to try and sing the violin part with my counting. Hilarity will ensue. If you find this sort of thing amusing, I do. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ah! No, that was right. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Okay, you can see this is like a disaster, right? Like the whole thing, I feel so uncertain and it feels random and it feels like there's no pattern. And it's the kind of thing where obviously it's not difficult to do that, right? Like that's not a hard thing to do. But doing it in the right time has been really stressing me out and feeling like I don't understand musically what's going on. So here's my solution. I'm so excited. This totally worked. I rebarred it, which is to say that I made all of these plunks into new downbeats. So now check it out. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, except I can't. No, let me do it again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. And it totally makes sense. And then there's actually a pattern that I can understand, which is it goes 1, 2. So there's a 5 bar and then a 6 bar and then a 5 bar and then a 6 bar, which makes total sense. Why Aaron Copland didn't bar it that way is totally beyond me. He certainly is happy to throw in a 2-4 bar or a 3-4 bar here and there. In fact, he even does. I suppose that I could try really hard to make his downbeats feel like the downbeats, but it just is, that seemed like a ridiculous way of doing it. So I'm so happy that I found this solution where my new bar lines work. So I have, just in case you wonder what the visual is, I have giant fat pencil, big, big lines written over the new bar lines. And then I have the numbers written in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then I circled 5 where it's a 5 new measure and then 6 where it's a 6 new measure. So that was a really fun solution. I'm so happy that I figured that out. Let me play you a little bit of this because it's really cool. It's really, really cool. I also, turning the pages is a pretty big deal here. I have this gigantic kind of Frankenstein thing that I've put together with photocopies where it's spread out and then I cut some of them in half and then I made it so that I could turn. This would be a perfect piece to play on the iPad with the pedal turning, except that I just don't trust the pedal turning and I can't deal with it because it's failed me before, so I just can't. Let me play you this really nice tune in the first movement. I just think it's beautiful. Where's this place where it starts? I'm turning on my millions. Here we go. Listen to how nice this is. You'll just have to sort of live without the violin part, but just here's this nice moment. And then it goes on, the violin has melody more there. So that's really nice. There's other places. It's all rhythm. Let me play you the part where it gets hairy though. Oh, let's go from here. This is a 3-part canon, so the violin, here I'll play you the melody by itself. Okay, so we have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and it goes on like that. But I can't, I don't think I can sing the violin part and play this, so you'll just have to trust me. So my two hands are playing that melody a beat apart, and the violin is playing it a beat apart from that. So the violin is going dum. Dum bum. Can I do this? I'm going to try it, and then if I fall off, that can be amusing. So, dum. Oh, maybe I can't do it. Dum bum bim bum bum ba. I can't do it. Okay, I'll just play my part, and you can hear the two parts, and just imagine the third, or just imagine that it's even more complicated. So. This is a different, the canon goes in a different way, but this is hard in a different way, so let me show you this. This is cool too. God, how did I fall off there? So you can see I still need to practice that a little bit because it gets scary on the third page of that. But that's exciting stuff. That's my exciting Copeland world that I'm in about that. Okay, so that's something I'm practicing right now. And then the other thing that I'm practicing, I'm sort of not deeply, like I don't have a solo recital that I'm getting ready right now. I'm sort of in the shopping mode where I'm looking around at repertoire and thinking about what do I want to play. And I'm not even sure that I'm going to do a solo recital next year because I want to do pieces that I feel like I need to do because I need to do the piece, not I need to do the piece because I'm looking for another 10 minutes to fill a recital. So I may just do chamber music next year, and that may be my main thing that I do. But a couple of pieces that I'm sort of thinking about flirting with, and one piece that I am really, I think, committing to. Let me say it. I'm committing to. things have been pretty stressful at work. Just there's no point in talking about it. It's boring work things. But I think a lot on this podcast I've talked about music as a source of stress, especially with the Chopin Etudes being so difficult, and obviously it can be that. But I wanted to talk today a little bit about music as a source of solace. I found myself kind of, I want order and beauty. I don't mean order like the trains run on time. I mean order like fractals and stars and believing that there's a deeper mathematical truth to the universe and wanting to connect with something that's larger than myself and larger than our country in its terrible state, which I'm not going to talk about because if you listen to this, you're probably looking for a break from that. But anyway, I've been wanting to connect with the larger structure of the universe in a musical way, which of course means Bach. That just means Bach. And so I've been reading through the Preludes and Fugues recently, and I landed on a couple of them. One of them I think I'm going to actually leave. I realized that I actually studied this as an undergraduate, but this is the F sharp major prelude. So that's been kind of fun to play. And then I'm not going to play the whole fugue, but it's this one. goes on. I don't really have it. I may relearn it. I'm not sure that that's the one that I really want to be living in. This is the one that I really want to be living in. I am totally in love with the B flat minor prelude and fugue from book one. Listen to this. This is literally having played through it like twice. So this is not practiced at all. But God, what a beautiful piece. So actually, I was just playing in 5,000 flats. Not really, but a lot of sharps. And now I'm playing in a lot of flats. So there's a little bit of a brain thing there. There's a kind of a panicky moment once in a while. So we'll just sort of see how I do. But listen to this. There's so many crunchy, beautiful dissonances. I just love it. That's the prelude. The fugue is, I'm going to do slowly. Let me just see if I can do this. It's amazing and complicated, and I don't have it, of course, because it's brand new. But let me see if I can show you this. This is five voices. By the way, if you let me talk about a fugue for a second. I like to kind of call fugues, for people who don't necessarily listen to fugues a lot, it's kind of like Where's Waldo. So you can listen for when the fugue subject, the main tune, enters. And that's kind of a fun way of looking at it. Now here it keeps happening. It's really just two measures long. So the subject here is this. And then you could argue about whether how much farther it goes on. But this is sort of the main thing. I am not going to play it that fast right now, although eventually I think probably it should be, so let me do this slowly. There it is. Mm-hmm. actually think about how far I think that the fugue subject goes on, because I think it's more than what I played for you. This is just the middle section. And then here it is again. And here it is. I'm sure that I'm going to miss some of them when I'm trying to tell you where they are. Here's one. No, that wasn't one. Fooled me, Bach. You got me. This beautiful moment of simplicity there. No, 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 flat. Ah, that's better. To tell you about when things came in, but there was one. And then here's one. Okay, wait, I have to go back up and look at this. This is so cool. All right, so well, let me see. This is measure 69. Ooh, I'm not wearing my glasses. I can't actually tell if that, yep, 69. Needing to wear reading glasses is a whole other thing. I'm not even going to talk about it today. But they're quite colorful accessories. This one, here's this. He's doing the stretto thing. No, that. Yeah, he's cramming them up against each other. This is really cool. Wait, where's the next one? This is cool. So instead of it being you do one voice, two bars by itself, and then the next one he's doing, am I right? I should figure this out and report back to you. But I think he's doing a one, two, one, two, one, two. Yeah, so he's doing them, they're coming in right after another. So they're all crammed in together in this great little stretto that I clearly have not worked out yet. Anyway, this is my this piece is my refuge right now, which is nice. It's a good place to go. Another piece that I've been sort of flirting with, just because it was kind of in my head, and I have a student practicing it, and I thought, you know, it'd be kind of fun to practice this too, is the Chopin Fantasie Impromptu, which I do not have, but it's this. now see this. He does this cool thing where he tells you to put the melody in the thumb here in the right hand. And then he tells you to put it in the pinky. And then this kind of cool thing here. Where are we? Yeah, here we go. Huh? No. There we go. This gorgeous middle section. Gross. No. There it is. I got cocky. I didn't practice it. I mean, I haven't really practiced this at all, but it's something like... up now, but I can. Why not? That is way too much. Just playing around with ornaments, why not? This is I just love this. This is so cool, this moment. No, that's not right. No, it is. There. No? Ah, gross. First time thumbs. And then pinky. first time. No, we're here. Oh, and then there's this cool coda that I have totally not dealt with. No, it's the, so the melody's in the pinky. Let me see if I can do that. This melody from the middle section, it's really beautiful in the bass. So, well, the, not the bass, but the middle voice here. And then there's this inner voice that's so nice. Says triple piano, softer than that. And also, let me do that better. So then hold the G. Ugh. Yeah, something like that. So I'm totally not in the place of practicing either the Bach or that Chopin piece, like really practicing for performance. I'm just kind of playing them and playing around, which I think is exactly what I need right now. But I am shopping for new repertoire. This morning while I was walking into work, for some reason the banjo by Gottschalk started going through my head. You know, this thing? Quite that, but that's the general gist. I'm thinking of maybe learning that, which I think won't be that hard. I mean, it gets more complicated, but it's mostly that. I'm thinking of maybe learning that and pairing it with this Gottschalk Waltz. I mean, the title of the piece is Gottschalk Waltz by Teresa Carreño. It's this flashy showpiece that she played around. I think she's an early 20th century pianist, but she might be 19th century. I need to read a little bit more about her. Anyway, I think that might be kind of a fun pairing. And I'm also feeling like it'd be nice to play some... Oops, sorry. I just banged my microphone. It might be nice to play some minimalism. I'm in this kind of like wide open place about everything. So that's pretty much what's going on with my piano playing. The other kind of main musical activity besides teaching, of course, that showed up in my life recently is... I got asked to help come up with some music for the March for Our Lives. And so I wrote a protest song. Like I tried to write a protest song that you could learn on a bus. So I'm not going to actually do much with that here, but I just wanted to let you know that that was a fun way of kind of walking around in the world, making music and coming up with music. And it was sort of fun to have these earworms in my head that were mine. You know, so that's got me thinking it'd be fun to do maybe a little bit more composition, or at least more. It would probably be good to get into a more rigorous practice of improvisation again. So I'm thinking about some of that stuff. Anyway, I just wanted to check in with you. I got a lovely email from someone who said that listening to these podcasts is kind of like taking a walk in the garden with a friend, and I so appreciated that. So thank you for that lovely comment. And it's nice to know that people are listening and enjoying. So you can find out more about me at jocelynswigger.com. I didn't say that's it. I'm totally out of practice, but that's it. You can find out more about me at jocelynswigger.com. I'm on Twitter at jocelynswigger. You can follow the hashtag things I tell my students there. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to email me, that would be terrific. And thank you so much for being my practice buddy.